Good morning, folks. This is Lenny Lawson, the Car Guru. We are running out of March. Then why does it feel like January? You know, I'm about tired of this cold weather and this wind, but I'm not going to sit here and fuss about it. I'm just glad that the sun occasionally is peeking out and the trees are starting to bud a little bit. My Bradford pears got burnt up by that last frost. They had the prettiest flowers on them, but they got toasted one evening. I think it got down to 10 degrees, but that's just part of living in East Tennessee, isn't it? But that's okay. We just deal with it. My daughter just came in here a few minutes ago and said, "Hey, Dad, what's that thing on your microphone?" I said, "This little filter, like looks like a air conditioning filter." She said, "Yes." I said, "That's a pee filter." "Really? What's a pee filter?" "Well, that's because when you're on a using a microphone and on a radio show and you say pee, sometimes it the microphone will pop. And so I say if it's popcorn, pee, and when I say peas like that, sometimes it'll make a loud popping noise. So I put this pee filter on here because I noticed that on my radio show that I was popping my peas. So I know that sounds weird, but now that won't be a problem anymore. So now she totally understands why I have this screen in front of a microphone, and so do you. All right, let's get down to it. Do you need to have your wheel alignment checked? This was asked of me by a real estate agent friend of mine. She says, "Is that really necessary anymore?" And I said, "Absolutely, under several circumstances." The first circumstance is if you just had new tires installed. Wouldn't you like to get off to a good start with your tires with a nice straight front end alignment, you know, where all your tires are running on the road the way that they're supposed to? Of course you would. Another reason, you are noticing a pulling sensation to one side or the other when driving down a straight flat road. Now, folks, you all know that most roads are not level. If they were level, then we would have more hydroplaning accidents. So they are actually angled to have water runoff or allow for water runoff. So your car is going to drift, even on if it looks like you're on a relatively flat, straight road, your car is going to drift to the right because of that angle that the road is built at. However, it should not dramatically do so. And if it's pulling to the left, you got a really real problem on a road that's leaning to the right. But if it's really dramatically, you let go of the steering wheel lightly, don't do that often, and it was, you know, really pulls to the right, then you've got an alignment problem. You need to get that squared away. Well, I take that back. You could just have low tire pressure. And so hopefully, if you've been listening to this show long enough, you are responsible for your tire pressure. If you only get your tire pressures checked when you go to the quick lube place, that would be like every, 5,000, 6,000 miles. Then that's not often enough to check your tire pressure. You will lose 2 pounds of pressure per month unless you're using pure nitrogen in your tires, and then you'll lose 1 pound. So, you know, after 3 months, you've lost 6 pounds of pressure, which can definitely affect your tires and their longevity. Another reason you would want to get your alignment checked is if you are noticing uneven tire wear. Assuming your tire pressures are good, if you're noticing some excessive wear on the outside edge, then you probably need to get a front end alignment or a four-wheel alignment. Or if it's been more than a year. Yes, folks, I do recommend that you have your alignment checked every year. Unfortunately, at most businesses, most, I guess, repair shops, tire stores, you have to actually have your car put on an alignment machine and pay for a four-wheel alignment in order to get an alignment check, but you don't at Gateway. I just installed a new Hunter measuring system, and basically we check your alignment for free now, and we can do it in a matter of seconds. When you drive through my front doors at Gateway, your tires and wheels are hit with 36 different lasers on your front and rear wheels the second you drive into the service department. These measurements will tell you and us everything we need to know about your wheel and tire alignment. So, and then we can decide whether to put it on the machine. And so, well, how do we do that? Well, we pay Hunter Alignment Company, or Hunter I guess it's Hunter Equipment Corporation. That's right. They are the best. Everybody recognizes them as the best, unless you happen to be selling some other brand of equipment. But even they say, yeah, Hunter's the best. And so we have this these devices on either side of our doors, and when you drive through, boom, you're getting hit with 36 lasers, and it tells you whether your front end and rear end is out of alignment or not. What does that cost? As I said, zero at Gateway. So if you want to have your alignment check, just come on down and drive in. You know, if there's a car sitting there in the way, we'll move it, and we'll line you up so you can drive in and get your alignment checked. So something that's important to do and that we often take for granted. Well, let's take our first break, and we'll be back here in just a minute. Okay, I'm back. You know, if anyone knows where there's a little motorcycle called a Honda CT70, in any condition, do what you can to get your hands on it short of stealing it. They sold for about $375 back in the late 70s. Or really early 70s and late 60s. That's when I had a Honda CT70. Matter of fact, my dad had three of them, one for me, one for my brother, and one for my dad. One just brought $10,000 at the Bring a Trailer auction. So I wish I knew where those three were that we had. But, you know, it's interesting. Anything from the 70s is hot right now. Do you remember when stuff from the 70s was, you know, not that hot? It was from the 70s. You know, real elaborate colors, green refrigerators. What was that color called? I can't remember. Harvest Gold was one of them for refrigerators and washers and dryers. There was a olive green, maybe? I don't remember. But stuff from the 70s is hot. Baby boomers aren't necessarily the ones buying them either. It's the younger crowd, like my kids, for example. They think the 70s was cool. I mean, like bell-bottom jeans, big hair, turntables, 8-tracks, Marantz stereo receivers, even some cars like Chevettes and Pintos and Vegas and Monzas, not really. It's more like the usual characters, Mustangs from the 70s, Broncos, Blazers, Chevy trucks, square-body Chevy trucks, some of the Fords. You know, so don't get rid of those platform patent leather shoes or those dingo boots that you may have stored away in your closet, because they're back. They are back. And thank goodness that some people appreciate nostalgia, like me. Something else we need to talk about. Have you ever heard of something called a clip? Now, I'm not talking about a haircut, but I'm talking about when two cars are made into one. It's called a clip. There are several issues with these types of repairs, and they are only done when two cars have been wrecked so badly that you can only salvage the front end of one and the rear end of another. Clips are often done by shady characters who are trying to pass off the clip as a normal car. So, to clarify, this is when, like, the whole front end of a car has been smashed, unrepairable. And a junkyard or a body shop that keeps wrecks may have the front end off of another car that they can use. And it's typically, when you're talking about clips, you're talking about unibody cars, not necessarily body-on-frame cars. Remember, on a unibody car, it does not have a traditional ladder-type frame underneath the car upon which the body resides. Like a pickup truck, for example. If you look underneath the pickup truck, you're going to see big steel girders, girders. That is the frame, and the body is attached. The cab, the fenders, the bed are all attached to that frame, bolted to it or welded to it in some cases. With a unibody car, that you don't have that. It's all one piece, and unibody cars are lighter. And that's why most vehicles that you see on the road today, SUVs, crossovers, not like an Expedition or a Chevy Tahoe or something like that, that's still body on frame. But anything else, just about, you know, like Chevy Traverse, Ford Explorer, Toyota Highlander, all those are unibody frames. So they don't have the traditional frame. But, you know, they're all good. It's just that you need a heavy-duty frame when you're towing. And that's why, you know, Expeditions and F-150, that's why you don't see a unibody F-450 dually, because it just doesn't work very well. You need that extra strength of the frame to be able to support the payload and to be able to tow more. But anyway, clips are often done, like I say, by shady characters. They're trying to pass off the clip as a normal car. Clips are supposed to have salvage titles, but the VIN on the front of the car may not be salvage. You know, you can have a car that's hit really badly and the people don't turn it into their insurance company. And so it just becomes, you know, maybe a body shop or a junkyard buys the wrecked vehicle and just keeps it there, but it's never been reported to the state as an insurance loss. And therefore, it's just sitting there waiting for a good front end or a good rear end. That sounds weird. Anyway, the VIN, like I say, is typically on the front half of the car. It's just at the base of the windshield on modern cars. And sometimes it's stamped on the frame, but most of the time, it's somewhere towards the front of the vehicle. So some innocent person, like you, goes to a car lot and buys this car and has no clue what they are buying. So how do you avoid this? Well, a couple suggestions. I don't mean to hurt anybody's feelings here, but never buy a car from a body shop operator unless you check it out thoroughly. Now, there's a lot of great body shops out there, and they would never think about doing something like this. But there are a lot of people out there that have a body shop and have the equipment and have the skill, and they figured out that they can take cars that are destroyed and put them together with another car and make some money on it. Not only make money on fixing the car and pay salaries and stuff like that, but also make money when they sell the car because they're able to repair it and mark it up and sell it as if it's a perfectly good car when it is anything but. You know, the problems that you could get into later on are, of course, resale value if somebody finds out about it, because a totaled or salvaged car, you know, it might be worth 30% what a normal car would be worth or less. And then you also could have future problems like with alignment. You ever seen a car that's going down a road, looks like it's kind of going down a road sideways, even though it's going straight ahead? We call that crabbing, you know, where the rear wheels just aren't lining up with the front wheels. And you have to compensate, you know, with the steering. And people either know that or they don't. They probably know it if they actually had the car repaired themselves. They don't know it if they bought it from somebody else and they think they have a perfectly normal car. They just can't figure out why their tires keep wearing out, or why the car keeps pulling one direction or another, or why people behind them are laughing all the time. So there could be a number of reasons. My recommendation is to buy used cars from established used car dealers who are local, you know, where you have some kind of a recourse against them. And when you buy a used car out of state or, you know, online or something like that, you really just don't know what you're getting. That's why I'm not a big fan of these companies like Carvana and Vroom, and, you know, they'll deliver a car to your front door. Yeah, where's that car been? Who owned that car? How did they drive that car? Did they smoke in it? Has it ever been wrecked and not reported? I mean, did anybody inspect the car? Now, yeah, you do have a right to return that car if you're not happy with it. Vroom or Carvana will come and pick it up, but they make you jump through some hoops on that deal. You need to read the fine print on that one. So, you know, young people feel a lot more comfortable with doing that because they're just big believers of technology and the internet. And plus, they're more trusting than, you know, some of us elderly folks. So, you know, buy local. I think it's a safer bet, especially from new car dealers. Buying used cars from new car dealers, I think, is the safest bet. Although, you know, there are some crooks there, too. And really, just because a car was a trade-in at a new car dealership doesn't mean it doesn't have bad history. So check three things when you buy a used car. Always don't forget this. Check the factory warranty history. If you're buying a Chevrolet, call a Chevrolet dealer and give them the VIN number and say, would you please pull the warranty history on this car? I'm thinking about buying it. I want to see if it was a problem car, if it has any, you know, maybe the warranty was denied because somebody put a chip on the vehicle, you know, one of those tuner kits to make it perform better. And the dealership found out about it, and the factory found out about it, and they voided the warranty because of it. Would you want to buy a Mazda 323 that had been hopped up with a chip and somebody had lowered it and done all kinds of things and you know, modified the engine? And then when they traded in, they took all that stuff off and made it look like a normal car again. And you think you're just buying a nice little car for your teenager to drive, and it's been murdered. Anyway, check the factory warranty history. And also, don't just check Carfax, check AutoCheck. AutoCheck is a division of Experian. You ever heard of Experian? They are the credit bureau, or one of the three credit bureau companies. Experian owns AutoCheck. And you probably have to pay for the Carfax and the AutoCheck, or you can go to your local friendly car guru and have him check it for you for free, which I'll do. I need the VIN, and that's about it. If I have the VIN, then I can tell. Well, if I have more than that, I can tell you what the car's worth as well. But if you want me to just check the history on it, I can do that. And if it's a Ford or a Nissan, I can check the warranty history as well. Now, you don't have to buy it from me. I'll still do that. I'm not trying to be a martyr here. I'm just telling you what I do. So a couple of other things I want to talk about, but I'm going to take my last break, and then I'll be back in a minute. All right. Well, we've covered some ground today. You know that Honda CT70s are valuable. You didn't know that before you started listening today. Hopefully you learned a little bit about wheel alignment, how important it is, and that it's to get it checked. It's absolutely free at Gateway, where typically you're going to have to pay $50 to $100 to get an alignment check at another place. So at Gateway, all you have to do is drive through our service department. So that's pretty cool. That equipment was just installed, and we're still in training. I would wait until Monday. Then everything will be good to go. We're going to have a traffic jam in our service department. They're going to be so mad at me. No, we'll get it worked out. Have you noticed that car lights look different now? Well, I have. And just like all the light bulbs at Lowe's and Home Depot, everything has gone LED. You know what that stands for? Light emitting diode. I don't know why they just couldn't call it a light bulb, or as they say around here, light bulb. But they are more efficient in producing light and using less power. Plus, they last longer, and that's a good thing, unless you own a light bulb company. However, like everything else, they are more expensive, and if you are driving an older car, in some cases, you can convert burnt out bulbs in overhead lights, you know, on the interior, in headlights and taillights to LED. I'm restoring this 1949. Well, it's a 1949 body, and I'm putting it on a 2010 chassis so I can haul cars around. It's going to look like a Christmas tree when I'm done, because you got to have a lot of lights on a roll. Well, on a car carrier anyway. I started calling it a rollback. It is not a rollback. But I'm putting all LED lights all over that thing, and it'll be bright and pretty, and it may deliver a car to you someday if you buy a vehicle from Gateway, because we're going to offer it as our delivery vehicle for people who want a special delivery experience. I'm getting off the topic of LEDs, but you know, in some cases, if you want to install LEDs, you can. I don't know if it's necessarily a do-it-yourself project unless you're good with, you know, the difference between a Phillips screwdriver and a straight edge. But the only reason to do so would get, you know, brighter light, longer life. And you check with your local mechanic next time you have a burnout bulb or something. You might want to change them out to LED. It's not like you're going to be consuming a whole lot less energy. It's not necessarily the green thing to do. But I had to change out. I had a burnout dash light on a 1999 Ford F-350 that I'd purchased. Also, interestingly enough, my speedometer was not working. The odometer was working, but the speedometer and the light behind the speedometer were dark and not working. So that's not just changing a bulb. That is an instrument cluster problem. And so how in the world do you fix that? Well, since it's an older vehicle, even in a modern vehicle, many times they have repair stations that you can send these to. So we took it out, sent it off. 2 weeks later, it comes back, costs $350 to have that fixed. I bet they all they had to do is open up the back of it and solder a little wire, And presto, they made $350. But they sent it back to being reinstalled. Now, if you're a consumer, you know, it cost me $350. If you're a consumer, that job could have cost double that amount because most places would mark that up some. And then you got to take into account the labor cost. So this is why a lot of folks consider purchasing an extended warranty or a extended service contract when they purchase a new or a used car. Just be careful who you buy it from and pay a close attention to the exclusions because it may not cover instrument clusters. It may not cover that expensive infotainment system up in the center of your dashboard. That's a lot of expensive stuff, even though it's really kind of cheap looking when you really look at the back of it and all the printed circuit boards and stuff. They know how to charge for that stuff. So be careful what you buy. Don't buy any service contract from anybody that mails you something. If it comes in the mailbox, tear it up. Don't even bother to call me. Just tear it up. Go to your local new car dealership that sells the vehicle that you own and buy a service contract from them. If you want to buy one when you buy your car, fine. Just don't pay too much for it. If you want to know what's too much, just call me. 423-552-2020. I've only said that 8 million times. I shouldn't forget it. 423-552-2020. Let me know what your VIN number is, what you're trying to buy, and what they're charging you for the warranty, and I'll tell you if it's too much or not. See? There's a lot of things you can learn listening to a guru. Thanks, as usual, and we will see you tomorrow.